everybody, and welcome to our first podcast for 2020. Actually, OWB's first podcast ever. And the reason we're kicking this off this year is really exciting because OWB this year is celebrating 20 years of business, which is absolutely fantastic for us and for the team. So we thought, along with getting our clients involved in podcasting, it's about time that we actually dipped our toe in the water ourselves. And so I hope you're going to enjoy this. We're going to cover similar sort of topics and themes each week, but obviously with some different sort of content. So we're going to have a little bit of chat about what we like and don't like that's going on in the world at the moment, marketing wise particularly, and maybe updates and things that might be of interest to people. And then just generally have a little bit of chitter chatter between the team. So look forward to seeing you on the other side. So guys, what sort of things have you seen this week or the last few weeks in advertising and marketing that have particularly appealed? Anything of interest?
Well, obviously, this month is Veganuary.
Big push, isn't it, in January?
Yeah, adverts are everywhere and every brand's jumping on the bandwagon. And Corn, in particular, have unveiled a carbon footprint campaign.
Oh my goodness.
Called Step in the Right Direction. So it's talking about sustainable food choices and the fight against climate change, and they're basically saying, by encouraging your kids and families to have our products instead of meat-based ones, you're basically impacting positively on climate change and kind of combat it all. So I think everyone's probably seen them literally everywhere. You can't miss.
I mean, it's so topical, isn't it, at the moment, especially with all the stuff. Did you see David Attenborough was in the news talking about we've reached the crisis point of climate change and all the terribleness that's going on in Australia at the moment? I mean, it's just so topical. Yeah. But I don't know, do you think it makes a difference? Do you think people... I mean, you're a big meat eater, Claire. would it make you turn vegan seeing all this?
No. I think it's just turned into a massive PR stunt.
For who, though?
For the companies. Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon to line their own pockets. They don't care about the environmental impact.
But do you not think... even from your own thinking. So forget that everyone, you know, these ads are being sponsored, obviously, and there are big companies behind vegan just as much as there are behind meat. But in your own thinking and understanding, do you not think veganism is going to help the climate?
No. I think there's a lot of research to back up the fact that going vegan isn't necessarily going to save the climate. I think that there's certain things you can do with the food you buy, the produce you buy, supporting local businesses, supporting local farmers. I think that's probably going to have a far bigger impact in the environment than just turning vegan.
More local produce, because that's the big thing as well, isn't it? Shipping stuff all over the world.
Making sure that you know where it's come from, you know where it's sourced, you know that the meat that you're buying is ethically treated and it's happy. But I don't necessarily think becoming a vegan is going to save the climate, sadly.
I'm just thinking, have we got any meat clients? We haven't we? Meat manufacturing clients? Or
maybe we should.
Well, we do have a new vegan type client, don't we? Brand new client.
Little Very soap exciting.
Company. Yeah, massively exciting. Little soap company who produce all vegan and ethically sourced and I was going to say family friendly then, animal friendly, cruelty free soap products and beauty products, which is really nice. We're really excited about working with them.
I actually saw Soapers in Boots today.
Yes, I know.
It's
I saw the photo
on display, available nationwide.
Well, they are actually. I mean, they're a big brand. They're in Waitrose. They're in Sainsbury's. They're in Marks and Spencer. So they're a top line, and then I'm trying to push online as well, but certainly they've got a big supermarket presence.
It's really exciting.
It's a nice brand. I like it. So yeah, we'll have lots more to do on them. I've seen, has anybody seen the Boots campaign, the Boots Opticians campaign?
Yeah, I haven't, sorry. Oh, I missed that one.
I love it. It's beautifully filmed, and it gives the impression to start off with of a really luxury, high-end, high-value brand. Lots of the beautiful people floating around in their dresses and... they look like they're all going out for a big dinner party. And then the woman turns around to the camera at the end and she goes, "All right, love, these glasses cost me 50 quid from Boots." It's absolutely superb.
Sounds
I really,
really
like
good.
That.
I'll have to check
it's
it
good.
Out.
It's really good. It's definitely caught my eye. I like that one. There's one thing I did see this week that I've got to mention. I completely forgot about James Bond. I saw the trailer yesterday at the cinema. I'm so excited about seeing that film.
When's that out again?
April the 2nd. April the 2nd, I should be getting my ticket.
And haven't you got some exciting news about Mr. Daniel Craig?
I can't possibly say that.
Yes, you can.
I can't, it's exclusive. Well, does anyone know? No one. No, I can't. I can't care. It's very exciting, yes. But no, I can't mention that.
One of Shari's new neighbours is be Daniel Craig, but so she's got all her kit ready to do her stalking skills.
Yeah, I've got my stilts out. I've got my binoculars. So it's okay, Daniel. If you're listening, it's fine. I promise not to stalk you too much. Those are the two big things that I really enjoyed this week. Something else that I just wanted to talk about, we like to think about who needed a bit of PR this week. And I think there's a couple that really are in need of some new PR this week. What do you think, Chris?
I think it must be like Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Oh, I think it might be.
I think it's all a bit unfortunate. And yeah. I don't know, it will be interesting to see how it's going to work out for them and across the pond.
Yeah. I honestly think they've had some bad advice. Whatever their end output is, whether they leave or not, I don't think the way it's been handled has been very good.
It is. Well, it's also like interestingly as well. I think I agree with you on that one, but they're not going to get the same protection in America. So essentially, it's going to be even worse for them.
Yeah, I suppose the only difference is that they don't have, we have a particular interest in the royal family here, don't we, with our press, with our paparazzi.
True.
From the days of Princess Diana, we have a slightly bonkers mentality around trying to get to view our royal family, to scrutinise them in a way that they're not scrutinised in other countries. So I think they think they're going to have a little bit of a haven in Canada. Whether they will or not, I don't know. But it remains to be seen. But, that particular output, as I say, it doesn't really bother me. I just don't think it was handled very well, the whole thing.
Mm. I think possibly Cadbury may be needing a little bit of love this week.
What's going on with them?
In anticipation for Easter, they've just launched a cream egg spaghetti 24-hour eating competition.
Ooh.
And it's going to see dishes including cream egg curry, cream egg meatballs, cream egg toasties and cream egg brownies.
No way. Can I just put this out there? Am I the only person that doesn't like Cadbury's cream eggs?
Probably,
I don't
yes.
like them.
You don't like them either?
No, I don't like them either.
Oh, I'm the only one that likes them.
The only one that does like them, Claire. I can't stand Cadbury's cream eggs. They're
too sugary.
Yeah.
I don't know. The cream egg meatballs kind of make my stomach churn a little
cream
bit.
So meatballs. Are they chocolate?
Yeah, so it's cream egg meatballs, and then it's jam, and then it's a spaghetti substitute to make it a sweet dish. It's a dessert rather than a main course.
What's the spaghetti made out of?
I don't know.
White chocolate or something?
Oh, I don't know, but it looks a little bit disgusting. So I think it's not gone down too well. So maybe need a little PR help this
week. I've missed that one, but I suppose where are we? We're at the nearly at the end of Jan, so we will have all of the Easter stuff, won't we? I mean, Easter eggs will be in the shops probably next month.
I think they're already
there. They were there after Christmas.
Really? I suppose, that's it, isn't it? It's straight out with your Christmas decorations and straight in with the Easter eggs. I can't bear it. Yeah. And just going back to our earlier chit-chat about climate change, that's another bonkers thing, isn't it? With all of the rubbish
packaging
and all of that stuff.
I mean, you buy a gigantic box of a cream egg and you take out the cream egg and you take out the plastic and you unwrap it. By the time you've got to it, you've got something as big as your hand.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And that's just for one weekend of interest and entertainment.
Well, no, hour?
I was thinking Easter normally covers Good Friday to Easter,
Monday, Sunday.
So, yeah. You can extend it to 4 days. But yes, I realise that you'll probably eat your egg in 5 minutes. But for all of that, for all of that packaging, all of that nonsense and craziness.
So, say some brands still haven't tackled it. Like Amazon, if I order something small and it'll just be like a small beauty item or something, it'll be like a huge box and somebody will be like, oh, you've got a big parcel for you here. And it'll literally be a load of packaging piled up. Yeah. It'll just be such a tiny.
It's a good point. I think they're one of the worst, Amazon. Yeah. I mean, how many times do we order a piece of stationery here and it comes in a box 10 times the size and you can't believe it? Padded out with plastic bubble wrap and wrapping and all that rubbish. I mean, seriously, you know, some of these big brands need to be taking the lead. They're the ones who've got the power and the influence. They don't seem to be doing anything. So another part of our podcast is to look at various new technologies and updates, etc., within the sort of the social media space, technologies that we need to be thinking about as marketeers. And someone who's been looking at that for us is our very special guest, Mark Wilson.
Hello.
Mark is with us for, a few months. You've been with us already 2-3 months?
Yeah, it's a 45-day placement, but I've been here for quite a bit already, yeah.
Fantastic. So Mark is from Solihull College and is working with us just to get a little bit of work experience. So we tasked Mark with having a look to see what was readily out there as information that we need to be looking at and we need to incorporate into our marketing strategies for 2020. Mm-hmm. Mark, over to you.
Well, first thing that I'm going to talk about is on Monday at 12 p.m. Google rolled out their new Jan 2020 core update.
Ooh.
Which is a big update to all their search engine stuff and all their algorithms for where you and your company will appear when people search your name
in the search ranking. Yes.
We don't. No one really has any information on it yet because it's just been rolled out and it takes a couple of weeks to roll through. But my advice really would just be to keep an eye on your analytics and your wherever you get your stats from, and just watch out.
So to see if there's any fall off perhaps in your rankings, if it's had any effect on you.
Yeah, then in a couple of weeks you'll get companies starting to offer like information on how to play the algorithm.
Yes, because I get that Google never actually reveal their algorithm, do they? No. But I know there's a few gurus out there that do that.
Yeah, one to particularly watch is Moz's White Paper Friday, who was originally led by a gentleman called Rand Fishkin, and he is a fantastic source of knowledge for all things SEO.
So yeah, it could be quite interesting to look at that one. Yes,
definitely.
So that's a good one. That affects all of us. Obviously, anyone who's got a website, which is any business, is going to be affected by that in some way. So you need to look at it for yourselves. Talk to your your SEO agency. And if you don't have one of those, you can talk to us, for starters.
Yeah.
Anything else that we need to be aware of?
Well, we have Facebook is now changing their approach to videos.
Yes, I heard about this.
Yeah, so they're changing the way that they rank their videos and the way that they push their videos to promote longer content so they can obviously advertise, but also they say that it promotes original creators and stops people taking other people's content, posting it on their own social media,
right,
and then getting a lot of views and stuff from that.
Do you think that maybe have a bit of a backfire a little bit, because obviously people, if you're scrolling through your social media feed, do you really watch videos any longer than 30 seconds or a minute?
No, not really. And the Facebook are rewarding people if they can keep people's
attention
for that long. So it just depends really on how good the video, the content is at the time.
So it's all about creating really good, interesting, engaging content, isn't
it? Yeah.
And it's a funny one as well, because we've been talking for the last few years with our clients about creating short, snappy, quick edit videos. And now the recommendation is completely different. It's actually to record up to 3 minute videos. So
you can really hold the attention.
Oh, well, that's good news for the video makers.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything else caught your eye?
Well, you've had Instagram have been in the news lately with them pulling back their Instagram TV initiative. It's a big investment for them a couple of years ago, I think. But now they've started to pull it back. I think they're getting rid of the application, the separate application that you can get with it, because it just really hasn't worked for them.
Really?
They tried to release it to counteract the TikTok and Facebook, obviously.
Of course, yeah. Which is really grown, hasn't it?
They've been absolutely destroyed by TikTok. Wow. TikTok's taken over, really, that market.
And so, very much your generation, isn't it?
Yeah.
TikTok. Well, I can't say I've ever
But then it also goes back to my previous point of TikTok works because it's quick. It's short.
Yes.
It's really short, snappy, engaging content. Instagram TV may probably not have worked because it is longer and it's encouraging you to go elsewhere to watch the full film.
Yeah, and that's why creators, there was a guy at TechCrunch, a news place, and basically they were saying that companies were not giving creators the same amount of revenue. So creators just didn't bother using it.
Yeah.
So it just kind of all just kind of
fell apart.
Apart, really.
Oops.
But yeah.
Bad news for them.
Like TikTok about marketing to Gen Zs and millennials feeds into the fact that apparently Instagram stories are now going to be the most popular social media format and replacing social media updates in general.
Okay.
So they're an important way for attracting users who are looking for the brand in their stories, and they want all the product information through that format, and that's what they're expecting more so now. So
I think the trend with millennials and Gen Z is predominantly to look at the Instagram stories above anything else,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
do you find you do that, Mark?
Yeah, well, I mean, it all comes really from Snapchat. That's where all these kind of companies got the stories idea.
Yes.
Because Snapchat is really successful with the whole story thing.
Yeah.
And now, when Instagram kind of brought stories out, at first no one really used them, but then it kind of gives you an insight into, say, if your company was promoting yourselves on Instagram, instead of having to scroll through a profile, it gives you an insight immediately on what the company's about, what they've been doing, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's just a really quick snapshot, and you can get a lot of information out of them, really.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
People just want it easy at the moment, fast and immediate. They don't want to have to make an effort to find out about a brand. Yeah. They just want it right in front of them. And
I think that's the whole way that social media is going, though, isn't it? It's minimal effort. Get what you can as quick as you can without having to put too much effort in, you know.
Mm.
Although that flies in the face of then having a 3-minute video, strangely.
It doesn't make sense.
I know. It doesn't make sense, but there you go. Who are we to question?
Only the people that do it.
Yeah. Anybody else got anything?
So one thing that I picked up on the news this week was that AR, so augmented reality, is actually said to overtake VR, so virtual reality, in 2020. IKEA has recently launched a new app which actually allows you, the user, to photograph or video your room and place an IKEA furniture in the room to see what it looks like before you purchase
it. My dad's going to love that.
Your
Isn't
dad?
Yeah, he loves that stuff.
Does he?
Yeah. So that's all augmented reality. Yeah.
It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Actually, it's been quite big with kitchen manufacturers for a while.
Yeah.
Because that is obviously a huge purchase.
Mm.
And you've got to make sure you get it right so you can have your augmented reality kitchen put together.
I have a question about that, sorry. What is the difference between virtual reality and augmented reality?
So, the easiest way of explaining it is augmented reality. If you think about Pokemon Go, so that was an app that absolutely blew up a few years ago. So it allowed you...
Yes, I remember it. What a nightmare.
Did you take part in it?
Well, I had to take part in it because I had a son that wanted to take part in it. Driving him round the country, tracking Pokemons. Yes.
I think everyone's got a Pokemon Go story that they remember. Mm. So that is augmented reality. So it's creating a fictitious environment where an object is in front of you, which doesn't necessarily exist in front of you.
Yeah.
Virtual reality is an immersive experience, so you are experiencing it. So it's normally with 3D headsets, so you can...
It's completely immersive.
It's completely immersive.
Like a game or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's working really well for games.
Yeah. It's working really well for us, isn't it? We've completed a VR project last year for National Grid, which is just awesome.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And one preview before that for KPMG.
KPMG, indeed, yeah. Experiencing the future, the future world as KPMG.
Oh, do you remember that? Yes. So the video we did for KPMG, it was you stepped onto a spacecraft, because it was all about the future of technology. Mm. You stepped onto this spacecraft and it flew around the skyline in London.
I'm not
joking, you actually felt like you were going to fall off or fall over.
And yet you're not moving, you're standing perfectly
still.
So
strange.
But your brain is telling you that your body is moving.
Actually, another one of them, in Harry Potter World in Florida, they have a really amazing VR experience. Mm. It's crazy. You think you're flying and there's dragons
I went on that.
Oh my days.
I love it. I think it's fantastic.
I was a mess.
Throws you off a little
really
bit.
Good. Yeah. I did it as well.
And there was another one that you picked up, I think, on Claire as well. We were talking about earlier, this new Position Zero. Was that one of the ones on Google?
So
this is a good one.
This is new to me. So apparently, number one in the search engine results page is not the goal anymore. Apparently, the goal is Position Zero.
Position Zero.
Which is...
Tell us more.
A featured snippet of text above the search results.
Good
so
grief.
Apparently, that is shown to people, and because people don't want to scroll and they want to have the information immediately and they don't have to want to make any effort in finding it, it's normally the first one they click.
Wow.
So basically, if you're not up there...
And this is organic. This is not paid.
Yeah.
So it's all about what you're doing on your website, isn't it? To make it more searchable.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of work to do there. And that on top of the whole new Google algorithm as well is a real nightmare, isn't it, for SEO people?
It's why Google do it. Mm. They don't like making it easy for you. Now, obviously, we're doing a podcast, and there's a reason we're doing a podcast, because that's also been featuring quite a lot in the news, hasn't it, about the growth of this particular
yes.
channel?
So the revolutionary world of podcasts, as they're calling it. So acceptance for podcasts as a marketing vehicle to bring people to you is pivotal right now.
Yeah.
It enables you to share valuable and relevant content around your business expertise. And essentially, it's building that emotional connection with your brand. So in fact, 7.1 million people in the UK listen to podcasts each week. That's 1 in 8 people.
Wow.
So yeah, it's big.
It's definitely the way forward for sort of taking your content, isn't it? You know, where again, we're all time poor. And if you can put your earphones in while you're walking to the train or you're walking to work or whatever, it's another way you can quickly grab something that you want, whether it's the news or whether it's catching up on podcasts that you subscribe to. So I think it's a really nice format.
Mm.
It's like a new version of reporting and traditional like newspaper stuff and articles and that. It's just a completely new way. And it feels more organic. It feels nicer than
natural.
Read. Yeah. Feels like you're involved in the conversation almost, which is good.
So another reason to get involved in podcasts then, isn't it? I guess it's hard to get started because obviously you're not going to have listeners when you get started, but I think if you are regularly posting and you've got, obviously it's about having interesting content, isn't it? The same as any of our marketing and our social feeds, etc. It's all about getting interesting stuff.
Mm. And topical.
And topical stuff. So I'm hoping that people listening to this are thinking that this is interesting. Otherwise, we're not going to have many listeners either. But hey, we're having a nice little chitty chat, aren't we?
Trial and error.
We're enjoying ourselves. So yeah, I think it's definitely something that, well, I know that we are, as an agency, encouraging our clients to get involved. And it's one of those things, it's a long build. You know, you're not going to get success from your first, your second, or even your 10th podcast. But about the same as you will build your brand, the same as you have to build your social media channels, then you also have to build your audience for podcasting.
Mm-hmm. It's finding your niche, essentially.
Yeah.
And then how it's going to connect with your audience.
Yeah. Well, we've found it a lot of fun, haven't we? And we literally sat here, just for a bit of context, we're all sat around our boardroom table with a microphone in the middle, and we're just having a cup of tea and a chit-chat. And it's as easy as that. So
need some biscuits next time, I think.
Yeah, good idea. Mark?
Yeah.
Biscuits?
As the official intern.
Okay.
Actually, isn't it about time you made another cake?
Oh, I have...
That was a bit pathetic. I think, we're in January. I think you need to kickstart the year to really impress us.
Of course.
I think you need you need a cake.
Next week. Don't worry, we'll have cake.
And we've got it on file.
Yeah.
So we've got quite a few exciting things coming up in the diary, haven't we, over the next week or so, different clients. GT15, Clarabelle, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so one of our key clients, Cool Leukemia, is National Blood Cancer Charity, and they and Jeff Thomas, who used to be a Crystal Palace football player.
And England,
very true. Him and a team of 20 other riders, none of them are professional riders, they all just do it for our hobbies, are cycling one day ahead of the Tour de France, and the event is called GT15, so Jeff Thomas. It's his 15th year of remission from leukemia.
Amazing.
And he's aiming to raise £1 million along with his team this year, so it's absolutely fantastic. So,
and you're doing it, aren't you, Claire, apparently?
Yeah.
Are you really?
No.
I can see you with those power legs steaming up those hills. Jeff Thomas in your sights, no problem.
Chasing him down.
Yeah.
So tomorrow we've got an exciting photo shoot. All of the riders will be in one place. They're receiving all of their kits, so we get to
for the first time shoot. Since they've all been announced, isn't it?
Yeah. So we get to see them in their new kits, do a bit of a videos, do some photo shoots, and their bikes as well. So
they've got quite an ambitious target, haven't they, for the charity?
Yeah, £1 million.
£1 million to raise for Jeff Thomas for the Cool Leukemia charity.
Yeah.
Superb.
Which is going to make really a massive difference to the charity.
Yeah.
So. It's very exciting.
They absolutely deserve it if they complete that. So it's something like 22 days of riding.
And it's predominantly in the Alps this year as well. So the route's been released, and rather than being a mixture over north, middle and the south of France, it's predominantly in the south of France.
Which is the hardest.
In the mountains.
Yeah, the hardest circuit they think they've ever done, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's going to be the hottest.
And the hottest. I don't envy them at all. That sounds absolutely bonkers. So good luck with that. So that's a nice photo shoot, isn't it? And really,
really
good one.
Exciting.
What else have we got going on? So we've got a lot of expo preparation this month, haven't we? A lot of our clients planning for their exhibitions and their seminars and things for the rest of the year. Hypership.
Hypership, our new client, was a software provider who's providing like service to like all of the delivery partial companies. Really, really exciting. They're exhibiting at Leader in Logistics in Copenhagen in March.
Yeah.
And then we've also got Merchant Labels. Really exciting. They are going to the Packaging and Innovation Show at the end of February. I also think it's always really, really nice to see like people still going to exhibitions in a digital landscape. Mm.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually, isn't it? It's one of the last remaining pieces of traditional marketing. Mm. It'd be interesting to know what the numbers are over the years. Mm. You know, still places like the NEC still seem to be packed with big exhibitions. I suppose when you've got things that are really very tangible, it's the best way to bring...
To showcase them,
yeah, bring network. People together.
It's great networking event.
Yeah. But they all seem very keen, don't they, sort of get out there. Especially poor old, I mean, Hypership, their market, what a nightmare month January is for them, isn't it?
Yeah. We were focusing on the returns. So we had record level of returns for brands, so which has apparently taken a bite on the revenue for quite a lot of brands because people obviously returning gifts.
So this is online purchasing, and then they just return them.
Yeah,
yeah. And who else do we know? Who do we know around here that does a lot of that?
There's a lot of eyes on me just then. So I'm probably one of the prime
suspects.
Yeah, serial offenders.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think it's every day, isn't it, Tings? Oh, Tings, there's a parcel for you.
One.
Five parcels for you. And which ones of those are going back? All of them.
At least you keep someone in a job though. Returns department at ASOS.
The DHL drivers, you know.
No, you personally.
Yeah, they know me personally.
Good.
Yeah.
You'll be on a blacklist somewhere because they've talked about this. No, genuinely, they are talking about putting together blacklists of serial offenders who are constantly sending their products back. You're going to be on the top of that list.
Let's not draw attention to that. I'm not. My habit is still there at the moment.
I promise.
Maybe that should have been 2020. It should have been a 2020.
2020.
2020.
What's the word?
New Year's resolution.
Resolution. That's it. Yeah. I promise not to buy so many things.
I think you could start
on
now.
Amazon. Other online providers are available, and I promise I won't send them back.
Yeah. So.
That's good. Is there anything else that has happened this week or?
We've got another couple of really interesting meetings. British Motor Museum, which is down in Gaydon, the heritage museum of all the cars through the various eras, through the ages. That's a nice, really nice client. I particularly enjoy that one with my car and motorbike interest. So we're going to see them next week and kick off all of their 2020 campaign. And of course, Little Soap Company that we spoke about earlier, our newest lovely consumer brand. We're kicking off a big session with them next week. So looking forward to that. So all in all, I think we've got quite a lot going on, haven't we, guys? Yeah. And obviously our own preparations for celebrating our own 20 years as well. We've got lots to sort out and lots to unveil over the year. As the months go by, we'll be doing some updates on those. That's it, I think, for this month. So hope you've all enjoyed it. And you can find out, if you want to follow up on any of the things we've talked about, then you can download or go to our blog. And all of the links and all the information will be there. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.